Without making it obvious, Dr. Jack Stapleton put muscle into the mild hill climb on West Drive in Central Park, where it bordered the reservoir. It had given him a bit of satisfaction to overtake and pass a small, tight covey of younger, serious cyclists on their imported road bikes, all of them clad in skin-tight, fancy duds, emblazoned with all sorts of European product endorsements, and wearing clip-in, expensive bike shoes. He, of course, was on his relatively new U.S.-made Trek bike that was every bit as fancy as the others, but his dress was far different. He was wearing his usual brown, wide-whale corduroy jacket, blue jeans, and an indigo chambray shirt with a dark green knit tie. Instead of bike shoes, he had on Nike kicks. His only concession to the 45-degree weather were gloves and a scarf. As he had done practically every morning since he had arrived in New York City to begin his new life and second medical career as a New York City medical examiner at the Office of Chief Medical Examiner, or OCME, Jack was using his bike to commute from his home on the Upper West Side down to the east side of the city. It was a far different mode of transportation than when he'd been a conservative Midwestern ophthalmologist. Back then, he drove a Mercedes to his office every day, attired in a Glen plaid suit with carefully polished shoes. The current pace setter of the group of well-heeled cyclists responded just as Jack envisioned. It would have been demoralizing to have a middle-aged, possibly blue-collar individual pass them, so he stood up and began a chase. There was no way for the cyclists to know that Jack probably rode his bike more often than they did. Nor did they have any idea that Jack also played demanding pickup basketball on a near daily basis, weather permitting, and was accordingly in tip-top physical shape. The rest of the cyclists followed the lead of the pace setter, standing up and pumping furiously. Meanwhile, without making it obvious by remaining sitting, Jack increased his own effort such that his lead slightly increased despite the more obvious efforts of the pursuing bicyclists. Several minutes later, as Jack crested the hill and began his descent, he stopped pedaling and allowed himself to coast, which permitted the clot of pursuers to finally catch and overtake him to regain their sportive dignity. Under more normal circumstances, Jack would have continued the impromptu race all the way to the south end of the park, where he'd exit on his way to work. But on this particular morning, his attention switched from aggravating the serious cyclists to musing about the Brooks School that he was passing to his right on Central Park West. It was where his son, JJ, was enrolled in the fifth grade. As if it were yesterday, and with understandable chagrin, Jack could remember his disastrous visit there 2 years earlier, when Lori, his wife, asked him to go to talk to the school authorities in her stead about their concern that JJ needed to take Adderall for ADHD after JJ had gotten into a few tussles on the playground. What made Jack an inappropriate substitute for Lori was that he was absolutely convinced there was nothing atypical with JJ. Combining that reality with his belief in some kind of conspiracy between the pharmaceutical and education industries, both of which seemed, in his mind, to be overly eager to start kids on what was essentially speed and turning them into nascent druggies. Unfortunately, Jack had made sure that the Brooks School knew exactly how strongly he felt. As a result, he had succeeded in alienating the school authorities, who threatened to expel JJ. Ultimately, Jack had agreed, along with Lori's insistence, to have JJ at least evaluated by a psychiatrist, who agreed with the diagnosis, but luckily by that time it no longer mattered. The evaluation process had taken long enough that it was apparent to all that JJ was not exhibiting any more playground shenanigans. As a result, the school's insistence on medication fell by the wayside. That was until last week, when JJ had had another fight during recess. Suddenly, the whole issue had resurfaced, and it was the reason Jack was now on his way to the OCME so early in the morning. The night before, he had been harangued by both Lori and her mother, Dorothy, who were both championing the use of ADHD medication. Awakening way before the alarm and not wishing to be again subjected to more pressure before rethinking all the pros and cons of the situation, Jack had decided to leave the apartment before anyone else was awake.